Hello, dear listener, it's Daniel. Now, before we get to this episode, just want to remind you, me and Core just launched a Patreon. For $7 a month, you can get exclusive content. Now, how do you sign up for said exclusive content? Well, we made it easy. There's a link down in the show notes, or go to patreon.com/litdpod. We'll see you soon. Now, let's get to today's episode. Welcome to Light in the Darkness.
Off topic.
Off Topic episodes are a sub-series within the Greater Light in the Darkness podcast, where Daniel and I have a chance to sit down and stray away from our normal supernatural and paranormal fare. These episodes are our normal day-in and day-out conversations. The only difference is this time we have microphones in front of us, and we're recording it so that you can take a listen.
So consider yourself invited to the digital campfire, if you will. The microphones are on, the chairs are semi-comfortable, and the coffee is hot, but it is also decaf. On a more positive note, tonight's topic, gaining God's perspective.
So this off-topic was actually a suggestion from my mother-in-law. She was saying, I would just love to hear your and Daniel's perspective on gaining God's perspective. And it really made me think, why have we not opened this up to our dear listeners to send in topics for off-topics? What do you think about that, Daniel?
First, I'd have to assume that they listen to the off-topics. Based off a few confessions we've had from other people, I just don't know that that's true.
Daniel, they're listening to the off-topics right now.
That's fair.
This literally is an off-topic, and our listeners are listening right now.
If this is because of conviction from the last thing we said, good. Past that, let me change my tone a little bit. I think it's fantastic. We would love to hear your ideas. I would also like to double down. Thank you, Janie. Great idea.
So if you have an off-topic topic you'd like to hear Daniel and I's thoughts on, please shoot us a message to litdpod@gmail.com.
litdpod@gmail.com.
That's litdpod@gmail.com. So moving on with tonight's, it's tonight for us, we're recording in the evening, off-topic, gaining God's perspective. You know, there's a lot of situations in life where I have found that God kind of pumps my brakes for me and then reveals his perspective on a situation that I'm going through. This topic, this thought of how do we gain God's perspective about anything, relationships, people we're around, our situations in life, oftentimes I've noticed and been a firsthand witness to the way God looks at things is way different than how we look at things. And his way is ultimately the truth. And it's the truth that sets you free. So I'll just kind of an example of this, just to kind of frame in our conversation of what we're talking about in gaining God's perspective. I believe I've shared this on the podcast before. Was when I was in a previous relationship with a girl, and it was just a very chaotic relationship, lots of ups and downs. And ultimately, she just didn't treat me the way that ultimately I deserved to be treated. And I walked away from that feeling rejected, like she didn't feel like I was good enough for her. And it was in Pastor Shelley McWilliams' office, host of the Raw Faith podcast.
Shameless plug.
Go subscribe. That I was unpacking a little bit of this situation and this relationship where I was like, yeah, I really walked away feeling rejected by this girl and it really hurt. Where Pastor Shelley told me, well, that's how you feel about it, but what's God's truth? And I stopped and I looked at her and I said, the truth is that I was rejected. And she said, no, listen and find God's truth. Or we can think of it this way, God's perspective about this situation. And the truth was, his perspective was that he actually orchestrated her treating me the way she did because it was not the right relationship for me. And instead of her rejecting me, which is what I walked away with, the pain, the hurt of rejection, it was actually God sparing me continuing down a relationship that was not his ideal purpose and plan for my life. And that completely did a 180 and changed my whole perspective on that relationship and that season in my life. So that's kind of what we're talking about. How do we find God's perspective? And this can apply to your church. This can apply to so many different areas of life. So with that being framed in, Daniel, do you have any stories of times where you came to gain God's perspective about a situation?
Let's get in the old Holy Ghost time machine. Looking like a DeLorean tonight. And I'll take you back to a much simpler time around the year 2008. Something I've talked about several times on the show before is my biological father. I would say the first time I had to really press in to gain God's perspective, again, similar setting as you, I was in the good reverend's office, the modern day exorcist.
Host of the Raw Faith Podcast.
Shameless plug.
Go subscribe.
I had to really press in about something because my dad, one time in a moment of anger, you know, it was an awful, awful argument we were having. And some of the things that were said and the things that were done, I just didn't understand. And it's not important what, just names were called and blame was cast for situations I had no possible way of being a part of, essentially. A divorce. We'll just go that route. And it just, man, it wrecked me for some time. I remember just holding on to that for a long time and going, well, you know what? Maybe Dad was right. Maybe I was a big part of this. Maybe I did cause this. You know, he's right. I was an accident. They didn't plan for me to begin with. And then I showed up and there could be truth to this. And I didn't realize how much I had bought into that. A similar situation. I had shared that with Mama Bear. And she said, I see that. I see what you're saying. And I understand that even the fact of it was a tense time. And she had me take a step back and even go, how do you think the Lord looked at this scenario? And I was like, well, probably that, you know, biological dad was a jerk. And, you know, after she was done laughing, she was like, son, ask the Father. And I did. And immediately it was just, number one, he's my son too. And he had no idea what he was doing. He was hurting. He was destroyed. Son, I was right there with you the whole time. I was standing beside you. You didn't know it. You weren't alone. You were backed in a corner, but quite frankly, we were in that corner because I was right there beside you. And it was a matter of just stripping down the situation because it was so much bigger than I was. All I was seeing essentially were the trees when really there was a forest of things going on. While the enemy was practicing deforestation, God was just sowing seed for next year's harvest. And something changed that day. Something clicked that had me approach future, honestly, scenarios. Granted, this is 10 years after the incident had taken place, but I noticed the Lord started to rewire my heart towards people, almost giving me a heart for people. And instead of approaching situations of, you know, what a punk, why would you say that? Why would you do that? It's like, you're God's kid too. I wonder what happened to you. You know, instead of seeing that vessel, it's almost like, I just see the scar and I'm like, Lord, can you use me to help mend that, heal that? Can I be a part of this?
Ouch. Yeah. Yeah.
That was probably the first time that ever started that rebuilding of me process and who he wanted me to be.
Yeah. And what's crazy is that in both of these scenarios, and I think in most scenarios, the perspective of the father is in a lot of ways contradictory to what we would think it would be. Like, to me, well, I got rejected. To you, he's a jerk. To the Lord, there's just more layers, and he truly sees things rightly and clearly. A couple more stories of, like, times I've actually gotten to speak his perspective over other people. And again, this is why I just love pursuing giving prophetic words to people. I was at a prayer meeting once, and there's a lady in this prayer meeting, and she is a detail-oriented person. She's the person that your church has proofread things for you just to make sure, because she will catch it. She is on it. And there was a morning where I was with her and we were all praying. And towards the end of the prayer meeting, I was giving a couple words and I looked at her and I said, you know, the Lord really loves the fact that you serve him with excellence and pursue doing things right for him. He put that in you, and he just loves that part of you. And we went on in conversation, and we were praying. But towards the end, before we left, she pulled me to the side, and she said, you know, I just really want to thank you for that, because actually, my attention to detail and the way I look at things, I've always thought of it as a negative. And I had never, ever considered the fact that God actually created me that way, and it might be something that he liked. And that's just a beautiful example of God's perspective sealing in a part of someone's identity. Another one, I was at a meeting and we were sitting around tables and we were all getting prophetic words for each other. And I looked at this cat and I said, does Miranda mean anything to you? And he's like, yeah, that's my sister. I'm like, wow. I just prophetically got someone's name that I don't know. That's really cool.
Big time.
he's like, okay, yeah. Do you have a word for Miranda? And I'm like, oh, shoot. I got so excited that I got a name that I completely forgot to actually get a word to go with that. Give me a second. So I spent a little time thinking, and the Lord gave me this imagery. And I got the image of like this glass globe, and it was like crafted and it was really beautiful. It's the kind of globe that like goes over a light on like a street lantern or something like that, that kind of glass spherical kind of globe that would go over a bulb. And in this sphere, there was a crack in it. But the crack, you could tell from the way it was formed that it was like intentionally crafted. Like there were little liquid drops around it, and you could tell it was part of the design of this globe. And I got this whole word for this guy's sister, Miranda, like, you have viewed something in your life as a flaw, as a crack in your character. And the Lord actually designed you this way. And that's actually through this area you think as a flaw, you think as a problem. That's actually where his light shines through the clearest without any obstruction, because that's where the bulb would actually shine through. And it ended up being something that was really transformative for her. I still hear every time I talk to him, he still tells me, oh yeah, she still listens to your word every now and again. And it just has gotten her through some stuff. And it's just really cool to be able to share God's perspective with people.
I was sitting here and Holy Spirit's just doing what he does. And a couple things rose up for me too. The first one, I was in youth ministry, and you know how when you're in youth ministry, there's always that family who's the family to all, like anybody can show up at their house. And if you're listening, you may be that family, and there may be several at your church, but
Kim and Kenny Newman.
All right.
Yeah.
The Newmans, good people. Oh yeah. And the Smiths, and you know, you can show up and it doesn't matter if you're 20 minutes late for dinner or if it's 6 a.m., you know, somebody's always cooking. There's always hot coffee, and Jesus is a part of that household. So that's the family I'm talking about in this story. They had been just under spiritual attack after spiritual attack, and this had gone on for probably a year or more in some of the most sensitive parts of their lives. And it's funny because a lot of people, they were the safe place for them. If things were rough at home, you could go to their house and have a quiet moment and a good meal and some prayer. The enemy knew what he was doing, and it was nasty. And it was to the point where they had pulled back from church, and we'll just say spiritually, times were hard, and they were really going after Papa Bear and that family. And that's because he was the one that was always smiling, just emanating the Lord's joy. And I was doing what I typically do. I'm at home. I got enough work at UPS. It's like, you know, 8 a.m. and I'm having tub time with the Father.
And I'm just loving it. We're worshiping and we're talking and I'm getting downloads and life is good. And he straight up drops it in my spirit. I want you to go over there right now. And I want you to have an honest conversation. And I want you to let them know about the spirit of oppression that's over their household. That's attacking Papa Bear and what it's doing. Because once it gets Papa, it starts with the head and it works its way down. And the mom was having trouble at her job and the kids are struggling in school and getting in trouble. And this is not like anybody in that family to be that way. And I took a second and I was like, you want me to go tell who what now? These are the people that I go to when I'm in trouble. And that was when that realization set in, son, you're all my kids. And it just hit me. I was like, okay. So I pulled the plug on the tub. I threw on a t-shirt that I didn't even dry off. It was in my spirit of they need this now and it's more important than any reservation you have. I need you to go talk to my people. I got in my car. I drove across town, still sopping wet when I got to their front door, which of course they wanted explanation for. And I laid essentially my heart out. And there was a little bit of resistance at first. And then the Holy Spirit showed up. And that's when things got real. And we went, honestly, as a spiritual family, room to room, door to door, in that house, and prayed together. And with Papa Bear leading, cleaned that house out room to room as a unit. Then the Lord gave me a word for them. And that was very early on. So I was very timid, but I delivered it. And after a lot of tears and hugs, there was a change that day. It all just started with God going, son, they're my kids. They're all my kids. They need to hear this. And essentially what it came down to is, will you say yes? Will you be a part of this with me? And that was huge. Around that same time, because the Lord had really started speaking to me, I was sitting in a youth service and it was an altar call. And it was an interesting altar call because a lot of times it's for you. This is the first time I'd ever heard, do you want to come down here and stand proxy for someone else? That was a new idea to me. And I really didn't understand that. Why would you go down there and stand for someone else if it's so important? Why aren't they here? But that was my perspective. So by the time the altar call was done, I realized, similar to the first scenario, because they're your kids. Long story short, the altar call was this, and I might have shared this before, but if you know someone who doesn't know the Father, then when you leave tonight, if you feel so inclined, take one of these Bibles. There's a stack of them. And I want you to take the Bible, give it to them, and witness to them. I'll give you the words. It was just a Holy Ghost filled night. It was crazy. And I waited till everybody left and I went back in. it was like to the point where the lights are off on the stage and they're pulling the curtains. And I was like, hey, Pastor, can I have one of these? It's like, yeah, what? This was like 20 minutes ago. What are you doing? I'm like, I just need one. All right. Well, that's what they're for. This was by no means a beautiful Bible. It was a alligator skin, yellow leather Bible, and they were all donated. But it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen because it was free.
It's the kind that every youth group would have. They never have normal Bibles. When a youth group is passing out Bibles, it's never normal.
And, it's another conversation with my biological father. And it was one of the last face-to-face conversations we really had. And I was able to take that Bible, sitting in the car. He was dropping me off from spending the weekend at his house. And I said, Dad, I don't know how you and God are. And I know things have been hard. But here. He's like, I've got a Bible. I was like, yeah, but this one's special. It's from the Lord, from me, to you. And I think he wants you to talk to him. I think he wants you to spend time with him. That's what I got from this. That's what he's really putting on me. And that was really hard at that time in my life to do, because I would have much rather preferred just to take a swing at him, if I'm being honest with you. But it was another one of those, son, eternal damnation is bigger than how you're feeling right now. And that's hard when you're 17 and somebody sitting beside you has ripped your heart out of your butt and your mom's and your sister's. And the father tells you, but I still don't want him to burn in hell. I can say that freely, and I don't hate him. I have forgiven him. But at that time, with hormones and everything else, yeah, I'd have much rather taken the swing. But anyway, I gave him the Bible and we got to pray together, and it was good. And I walked away from it thinking that I had done this great thing for the Father and the kingdom. And that was all for my dad and good stuff. And I was like, boy, he was rewiring me all the while. And it was just, oh man, it was good stuff. Oh, it was such good stuff.
I love that. I love how in each of our stories, there's some similarities, there's some differences.
but there's a common theme in each one of these. Gaining God's perspective, it all started with him speaking something or him leading in a way. And dear listener, we would just encourage you that God has perspective for whatever you're going through. And it's probably contradictory to what yours is. I would just encourage you to take some time and ask him for it. You know, he's not opposed to giving us his perspective when we ask for it. I'm reminded of the story of Elisha in 2 Kings 6 when he and his servant are surrounded by the enemy and the servant comes to him panicking. Alas, my master, what shall we do? Verse 16. So he answered, do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. The Lord has no problem with us asking him, how do you see things? What is the actual reality of what is going on? Whether that is that there's some personality quirk or trait or something about yourself that you really don't like, that's actually a way that he created you, that's a strength and not a weakness. Or if it's the fact that everything seems to be going wrong in your life and you feel like you're the one to blame, but there's really a spirit of oppression coming against you, or any of the other morals or little details of these stories we're sharing, the point is that God's perspective often contradicts what we see in the natural. And ultimately, there's only one way to gain God's perspective.
I would say a fun way for me to look at it a lot of times is I feel like God has this like eternal viewpoint on things, like this outside of time viewpoint. I feel like so often we are looking at the short game. I said it another way earlier, can't see the forest for the trees, but you know, he's the God of time and space. He literally operates more, you know, all throughout, weaves in and out of it. He can go beside it. We just know what's in front of us and what's happened behind us. And it's just bigger than us. It's not something I think we come by logically. I think most of the time, you know, like you were saying, we can seek it spiritually and he can give it to us. Or in moments where prophetic gifts are operating, it's given. And then there's those beautiful moments when we are in the middle of a conversation and we don't have the words and he will drop his perspective on us. Those are my favorite. Like where it's almost like he lends me his eyes. I had that moment. I've been hesitant to share this story for a long time because it's a heavy one, but I was having a conversation with someone who had had an abortion. Now, if I went off of the denomination I was brought up in, there would be a lot of heavy, dogmatic statements that would follow the minute she told me she'd had an abortion. But as I shared earlier, for years now, the Lord has been rewiring my heart in this moment with a lot of rewiring and an immediate viewpoint that I don't know where it came from, but it's never left me. Instead of immediately judging her and going after her, I hugged her. I just hugged her. She's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm sorry. And she just starts crying. And she doesn't know what to say. She's like, why are you doing this? I was like, because that sucks. And I am sorry, right or wrong in your mind at that time, how she felt when she had it done. I said, I'm so sorry that that happened to you. But I want you to know something. God didn't stop loving you that day. And even though you felt like there was a mark that was put on you, and even though you have felt disgusting and ugly, and you don't talk about it because you think it's a shameful thing, you're his daughter and you can lay this at his feet.
Holy Ghost time machine. One last story, dear listeners, and we're going to let you go. I can just hear some of you saying, no, more, more, more. Well, one more story. And I may have shared this one in episode 6, Russian Psychics and Prophets, oh my, but I can't remember what all I said then, so I'm going to share it again. You know, our last off topic was on the subject of church hurt, and we didn't get into a lot of the details behind how we got hurt in church, and that was on purpose because that wasn't the point. We were talking about healing from church hurt. a story that arose in my life more recently as a result of the church hurt was that Abdul, our guest in Russian Psychics and Prophets on My episode 6, I was talking with him one day at a church, at a gathering of believers, and he's like, I smell the presence of, and he said a name, and this name was the name of the pastor's wife from my old church. And he's like, I can't tell if it's a good thing or a bad thing that I'm smelling on you. And I was like, it probably bad. Not gonna lie, it probably bad, but I'll go home and I'll pray about it. Thanks. I appreciate it, Abdul. So I got home and I got in my prayer closet, and I'm laying on the floor and I'm just praying it out. And I'm like, Lord, what is it that you're wanting to say to me about this person? And immediately this really good memory came up of like a time when I was a young adult and I was really struggling and I was hurting and I was my identity. I was caught up in shame. I was struggling with my identity, who I was, but I wasn't really talking about it. I wasn't really verbalizing all this. It was very internal. And we were in a staff meeting. I was on staff at my church at the time. And in the middle of this meeting, the pastor's wife stops and she looks at me and she says, Corey, we can't really peg you, like your personality type. Like you don't really fit in any of our boxes. And you know, I imagine that probably has to be really hard. I imagine it must be hard to be you. And she just started confirming my identity, that God created me the way I am. And that even though I didn't see how I fit into his picture sometimes, he had a picture for me. So it was just a really confirming, beautiful memory. That was the first thing that popped up. And I'm like, well, Lord, that's a good memory about that person. So that can't be what you're wanting to talk about. So I go back and I'm like thinking about all the bad stuff that happened, and none of that was it. And that memory just kept surfacing and surfacing and surfacing. I'm like, okay, Lord, what is it you're wanting to tell me about this good memory of this person? And he said, Corey, that memory, when she did that for you, that moment had eternal significance in what she did. And the rest of it is just so much dross. The rest of it doesn't matter. The hurts, the pains, the traumas, all the wounding that happened to your soul. Ultimately, none of that matters. It's the good that resulted. It's my love being expressed that had eternal significance, not the rest.
Before we go, the Holy Spirit dropped something really funny on me, and I think it'll paint the picture maybe better than either one of us have this entire time, because he already used us to paint it. If you go to episode 1 of this podcast, Pilot 1 and Pilot 2, we thought this show was going to be very different than it is. We had our perspective. See, he fed it to us bit by bit, and he's been doing that all the while. It's so funny. He never overwhelmed us. He never gave us more than we could handle. But bit by bit, for this show, from episode 1 to now, God has been revealing his perspective. We tell you the things we think we're going to talk about in the pilot part 1 and 2. But if you look at the episodes, the Lord has had his way all the while and slowly been revealing his perspective to us.
Gaining the Lord's perspective can happen in a moment, or it can happen along a journey. The biggest point that we can tell you, if there was one point to this sermon, it would be that there's only one source for gaining God's perspective, and that's the Father himself. You will not be able to rationalize, you will not be able to come to a conclusion in and of yourself about God's perspective. The only way to get it is to have a conversation with him.
And until next time, take care, y'all.